Hello, everybody, and welcome to the SurfRods.com Hollywood Podcast. As always, this podcast is brought to you by a fuck ton of sponsors, but today it's brought to you by Things from Another World. TFAW.com has over 20,000 comic books, graphic novels, trade paperbacks, memorabilias, whole bunch of crap. And all of it at discounted prices, so you can save yourself some money buying this shit. So click the link at the bottom of the page or any of the banner ads and go buy some awesome comic shit. TFAW.com. And while we don't have awesome comic shit, we do have our own shit. So go to deathstoreprods.com/store and buy some shirts, such as the new Because Japan shirt, available now for $20.
I'm getting one.
Yeah. I would have gotten one, but A, I have no money, and B, they don't come in fat person sizes anymore.
What, they're not available at all?
But I'm a 3XL guy.
Oh, you just have to, it's a separate product.
We'll do it later.
Yeah.
We'll work on it later. But yeah. And if you don't feel like giving money to us, if you feel like giving money to dying children, then please go to deathstoreprods.com/extra life, that's all one word, and donate. All proceeds go to the Children's Miracle Network hospitals that we are supporting. All money donated is tax deductible if you care about that. So please, donate some money to help save some kids' lives. Deathstoreprods.com/extra life.
And by the way, for every $50 donated to my page, during the gaming marathon, I will play an hour of Amnesia.
Yes.
Straight.
It's not going to be your typical thing of just playing 10 minutes like, fuck this, done. but yeah. So, I'm your host, Deadman. Joining me today, we have Bobby Wong.
Hello.
And Ninja Kitty.
Hello.
What are you doing here?
I don't know.
Oh, yes, I remember. Shaq's quit.
Oh, yeah. Him.
I'll go on a long rant about that on the Anything Cast. I might write up a Dark Thoughts article. I don't know. We'll see.
Write up a Dark Thoughts of fuck you for quitting?
It's not just quitting, it's his reasons for quitting. Like I said, I have more respect for Toy Box in that regard than him.
Okay. Yeah, so here to talk about some comic books. So I guess, Kitty, let's start with you.
What are comics?
Okay, so she could be temporary until we find someone to replace her permanently.
Yes, I don't know comics very well. I read a Mega Man comic just a few minutes ago after I realized that I was going to be on this for the first time ever. Yeah, and it's apparently the origin story of Mega Man. It was really hard to get through. It was kind of all over the place. Pretty much it starts off with... His name's Rock, apparently. I didn't know that. I had a hard time figuring out whether he was communicating with someone on the other line, or whether that was him who was being said to him, or whether it's just his internal thoughts being referred to himself. Yes, his name is Rock, and he is at this random base with a big W on it.
Sorry, I'm going to point out that you did know that, because you know a bunch of the lyrics to the Mega Man with Lyrics song.
Oh man, you're right! Yeah, I knew that.
Also known as Rockman. That was his original name. Then it got retconned.
Mega Man's original name was Rockman? Well,
in this, it says he goes right to Mega Man.
Yeah, he was originally called Rockman, but for some reason, people referred to him as Mega Man because he uses the Mega Buster.
Yeah.
And eventually, it just stuck, so they retconned it to Mega Man.
Well, okay. Yeah, this is apparently the origin story, and they apparently changed his origin story because it says, oh, you said my arm cannon is the Mega Buster, right? And it's like, then you can call me Mega Man. And it ended. They pretty much showed this evil scuzzy guy taking all this guy's robots. And the one robot's description, it sounds very intimidating, I gotta say. It's describing Cutman and Gutsman, Iceman and Bombman. But then there's Fireman, whose incinerator function will promote waste reduction.
Okay.
Stop littering or else.
Stop littering or I'll burn your fucking nuts off.
And yeah, there's one that looks like an ice climber. His name is Iceman, except he has orange skin. And one looks like an Oompa Loompa.
Okay.
They're apparently very intimidating.
Get up on your mic. I can barely hear you.
Oh, wait. Better?
That's about the same. But yeah, we should have done this beforehand, but yeah. So, Mega Man comics. What was that comic actually called?
Mega Man.
Origin of a Hero.
Okay,
it was a free comic book day issue.
Ah, okay. Okay, then. So, Bobby, what have you been reading?
No, Ninja Kitty does have one more thing. I don't know how much you read of Infestation.
Oh, you read some Infestation.
Yeah, I read the like the start and the whole Transformers thing.
Okay, what'd you think?
Used at the start. I'm like, what is happening?
It's covert vampiric operations is happening.
All I saw was lots of blood and guts, and I loved that.
Yeah, that's vampire spies. And yeah. Zombies.
Confusing, but interesting concept. Very yeah. Well done. Gotta say. I thought the Transformers thing was completely a bit ludicrous, though.
Okay, why?
Robot zombies? Does anyone else see an issue with that?
Yeah, and it gets even weirder, because like in Infestation 2, we have steampunk robot followers of Cthulhu.
See, that might be a bit epic, but these are just Transformers.
No, they're steampunk Transformers.
But, you know, followers of Cthulhu, that's different. They're following Cthulhu. It's completely different from as a zombie.
No, but, like, in this thing, the followers of Cthulhu are zombies. Like, weird tentacle monsters get inside of them, and then they follow Cthulhu.
Okay, but you can still say, power of Cthulhu affects it. well, I guess they do explain it, so they're not... I guess the only thing you can argue is that they're not technically zombies.
Oh, I'm going to get into one of these arguments again. I get into these arguments all the time with people about what constitutes zombies.
Yeah, let's not get into it.
Shouldn't a zombie have, like...
Quiet you.
Proteins and cells and stuff?
Quiet you.
Shut up with your logic.
I will science you to death. I will science you to zombies. Yes.
So, Ninja Kitty, what were your thoughts on... this is so weird because I'm talking to you while facing straight forward and not looking at you. What were your thoughts with the whole Megatron's approach versus Optimus Prime's approach?
That actually wasn't Megatron. That was Galvatron.
Oh, sorry. Yes, Galvatron.
I don't know the difference.
I knew better.
Galvatron's a different guy.
My little brother will explain it to you. Megatron gets defeated, and then Unicron turns him into Galvatron.
Don't compare me to, a four-year-old?
No, I'm just saying he'll explain it to you, because he's watched the movie where that first came up like 100,000 times.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. Why is Optimus Prime popular again?
Because he kicks ass.
Yeah, but
because he's a truck. Like,
yeah, he also did almost wipe out humanity.
Yeah,
he did.
I want to do it my way, and I don't want to cooperate. I want to incarcerate you, ye who knows what's happening, and I want to just, like, kick ass, even though I'm failing a lot.
Okay.
Yeah. Then someone spartaned up and became awesome and then beat everybody. And then everybody went away. And everything was a happy ending. It was Prime, who was disappointed.
Okay.
Nice summary, eh?
Yeah, it's fantastic. I'm glad we brought you on. Yeah, so, Bobby, what have you been reading?
Okay, so, basically a bunch of things I got on Free Comic Book Day. So number one, I talked about this before because I was partway through it before because it's actually a long-ass issue. X-Men issue 1.
Okay.
Like I said, it's the 1991 reboot issue 1. So, you know, the one that the comic that the show is based off of.
Yeah.
It has quite an interesting storyline to it, so spoilers.
Yeah, spoilers to an 11-year-old comic. Wait, no, it's gonna be
20-year-old comic.
Right. I have my years mixed up.
This comic is as old as me.
This comic's old enough to drink. In America.
I don't know. It doesn't say an exact date.
You said 90...
Nope. 1st of October, so yeah, it is legal drinking age. No, it's not yet. It is slightly younger than me.
Okay.
Came out like a month or two after I was born.
So it would be of drinking age.
Not
well,
America.
Yeah, here, but not in America. In America, you have to be 21.
Yeah. Up here in Canada, you only have to be 19.
Unless you're in Quebec, then it's 18.
Pardon my language.
No, unless you're in Quebec, then it's just whenever the fuck you want to.
Yeah, because no one will say a damn about it.
Mm. Nope.
No one wants to piss off
the place. They let 10-year-olds in titty bars.
Magneto has basically, while always claiming to be a pacifist, has managed to piss off the X-Men, piss off every world leader, and steal a bunch of nukes, and create a mutant terrorist organization. Oh, he's also declared that Asteroid M is now a sovereign planet.
Yeah, he does that.
So yeah, that's pretty much where X-Men is standing. I'm guessing it's leading up to a big war really quickly.
Of course it is. Like, everything the X-Men are involved in is war.
Because Magneto already detonated a nuke over Russia.
Yeah, and then they get to Genosha, and then that gets destroyed. Then
five mutants claim to follow Magneto.
Then M-Day happens.
I don't know about M-Day yet.
It's a... thousands of mutants lose their powers because Scarlet Witch has no more mutants. Then there are only 198 of them left.
Uh-huh.
And they all start living on Asteroid M, which is on top of a tower with New Atlantis around the bottom of it off the coast of San Francisco. Because comic books.
So how did it get out of space? I don't even want to know how it got out of space.
Magic.
Probably.
So, moving on, Marvel Season 1 Spider-Man.
Okay.
Spider-Man Season 1.
Okay.
As a better title. It's basically a new origin for Spider-Man.
Oh boy, another one.
And, okay.
What did Uncle Ben say when he died this time?
You know what? This one doesn't even go up to his death. It goes from Peter waking up to Peter wanting to go and become a wrestler. I don't even have to tell you the in-between parts. You know it. He goes to school. Flash Thompson and bullies him. He goes to a science thing. Gets bit by a... this time, it's actually gone back to a radioactive spider.
Okay, that's nice.
It's not an Oz spider or a genetically altered spider. It is a radioactive spider.
Yeah, or it's not a magical spider like Aranya had. Because she had a fucking magical spider tattoo, dude.
Peter Parker always throws up. But yeah, so that's pretty much where it goes. There's only one thing. I think might cause things to go differently. I think the Vulture might have something to do with Uncle Ben's death, because he's been talked about. And okay. Uncle Ben kind of puts the idea of selling pictures to the Bugle in Peter's head.
Okay.
By saying, hey, Peter, want to come with me to go take pictures of the Vulture? And I'm sure the Bugle will pay a good amount of money for it.
Okay, so he's actually just creating the world of Spider-Man in that comic. He knows what's happening. He is conscious of his own mortality, so he's like, fuck it, I'm gonna make a comic. It's like, hey, Peter, how would you like to avenge my death of Spider-Man and sell a picture to the Bugle of yourself?
Yeah, well, no, the suggestion is to take pictures of the Vulture, but yeah, it's kind of where he gets the suggestion.
you know what he's talking about. Like, hey, you want to come take pictures of the Vulture and then eventually take pictures of yourself? Because, you know, that's not creepy.
Okay. So, yeah, moving on. Unless you wanted to talk more about Spider-Man Season 1.
No.
It's the exact same origin story again.
I know. So, moving on.
My final thing, the Free Comic Book Day Witchblade, which is basically an introduction to Top Cow's rebooted universe.
Okay.
So it does have... I'm not sure if it's a full issue of Witchblade. I think it's a full issue of Witchblade. But it's at least most of an issue. I'm not going to go too far into that story because Ninja Kitty doesn't want it spoiled because she's going to actually read it.
Yay!
I do comics now.
So yeah, I'm not going to really spoil... I'm just going to get the premise of it. But the new universe, the way they did it is really interesting. So they give us this little spiel of Jackie Estacado.
The Darkness.
Yes, he talks about the 13 artifacts, how they're assembled, the universe is destroyed. If the 13 artifacts are brought together, you can destroy the universe. And somebody wanted to do it because he had the key to another universe and he wanted to get into that universe. And basically, they failed to stop him. He does it. He destroys the universe. But one of the other bearers of the 13 artifacts, one of them's the Darkness, one of them's the Witchblade. I don't know all of them.
I know there's at least, like, the Angelus, I think Excalibur, the Magdalen, I'm not sure if the Magdalen is actually an artifact or, like, a just an order of people. But, yeah. I've read some stuff from the Top Cow universe.
So, yeah, anyways, Jagias Scarabase. Yeah.
Lara Croft is there.
Okay.
Tomb Raider.
Why?
Yep.
Wouldn't her boobs get in the way of everybody? She, like, tries to go through a doorway.
I'm sorry, are you looking at any of these other characters?
All their boobs get in the way. Like, Witchblade, her entire costume is, like, her costume only goes on the outside. Like along her sides, and barely covers her boobs. Like, if she actually had that on in real life, I'm pretty sure her nips would be flying all over the place.
Ew.
Blah, 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 blah.
Yep.
I think that's the previous bearer of the Witchblade. Anyways.
Who?
He
looks epic.
Wait, he?
She.
She, yeah.
Oh, him. That's Jackie Estacado. Anyways.
Yeah, women can't, men can't wield the Witchblade.
Oh.
Fuckers. Yeah, they have Excalibur.
Jackie Estacado basically explains how they failed, and the universe got destroyed, but one of the bearers had the key to another universe, his current universe, where everything's almost exactly the same, except he gets a happy family, and he's the only one who remembers the previous universe.
Jackie does?
Jackie remembers the previous universe, nobody else does.
Okay, do you still have the darkness?
He still has the darkness.
So then how can he have a family? Like, does he have a kid?
I don't know.
Okay,
looks
yeah.
like it.
Well, then that's not Jackie's kid, because the thing with the darkness is, whoever has the darkness, as soon as they impregnate someone, the darkness goes to them, and that person dies.
So it's passed from father to son?
Yes.
So how did his father ever talk to him?
He didn't. His father just... As soon as his mom was pregnant with Jackie, his father burst into flames.
Anyways, it's possible that the rules of the darkness have changed, or it's possible that it's an adopted kid, or a kid that the universe just created for him.
Yeah, just fuck it, here's a kid.
I mean, they created an entire new universe. It's possible that a kid spawned.
new universe had a kid?
Or just a darkling that he disguised as a kid. Because he can do that.
Where's your face? Where's that too?
So anyways, he's telling all this to a guy who's basically got hung up for torture, and the guy's like, why are you telling me? It's like, well, I had to tell someone, and you're not going to live long enough to talk about it. And he goes, like, full demonic form and, like, shows fangs and turns out the light. So that's the introduction to the new universe.
Okay.
Then we've got Witchblade. As far as I know, the 13 bearers of the artifacts are the same people.
Okay, that's convenient.
So, what the hell is her name?
Sarah something.
Sarah Pazzini.
Sarah Pazzini, right. She's a cop.
She's an ex-cop now.
Oh.
And now she lives in Chicago.
Okay.
And she's a private investigator.
Okay.
And just pulled in, on the side.
Okay.
Well, you gotta pay the bills somehow.
Yeah, I mean, private eye isn't... Being a private eye doesn't exactly pay as much as it used to.
L.
Yeah, but he's a special case in that he's in Japan and he's also insane.
And he's also epic.
Yeah, she is a lady in Chicago in modern times without having this weird death shit everywhere. She's a lady with a bracelet. She gotta make ends meet.
So, the only thing I'm not going to say too much about the story, but I could say the artwork is really good. The story is interesting. And there's an odd thing they've done with the storytelling. Okay. All of it is told through her account.
Which is all flashback?
I guess. Because, yeah, it's all boxes of her describing the incident. There's no speech bubbles.
That's weird. Yeah, that is interesting. It's... Yeah, that's weird.
So yeah, there's no actual dialogue in it. There's just her remembering of the situation.
Okay, are like the little like monologue text boxes in like some weird format? Like they look like a piece of paper that she's writing this down, or is it just regular?
No,
text
they're
boxes?
Just sort of blue.
Okay.
It's red outlines. That's important.
Yeah.
Okay. And basically she's kind of coming across the whole everything I touch or love dies.
Oh, she's in that phase.
Yeah.
I did not like that phase.
What? There's an emo phase to the burying of the blades?
Yes.
Of any of the artifacts, yeah.
Well, except for Angelus, because I'm pretty sure that just takes over you.
Well, look at what happened to Jackie in the first universe.
Yeah, he got fucked.
His childhood sweetheart got shot in the head.
That happens.
That was in the game. I'm not sure if it actually happens in the comics.
Yeah, I don't know. I am going by the game for that one, because that's all I really know. I'm probably going to read the new Top Cow universe.
Okay.
Because I'll be able to follow it, because it's been rebooted.
Yeah, I'll probably jump in there. I read quite a bit of the old Top Cow universe. I might like just read the Artifacts miniseries before I get into the new one. Because I'm pretty sure that actually just explains everything about the 13 Artifacts.
Although, I'm pretty sure I've said the same thing about, you know, the New 52. Oh, yeah, it's a great chance for me to jump in and read things.
And then you don't.
And then, yeah, I just kind of fell behind. I'll get back up there, like, New Guardians, remember what issue I was on.
Yeah, you read the first, like, three issues of New Guardians and the first issue, whatever ones I told you to.
Pretty much.
And you're like, fuck it, moving on. Okay. Is that it for you? You got something else?
I believe that's it for me.
Okay, so, on to me. So, Bovi, what is your first pick for what I'm talking about this week?
Mars Attacks 1.
Yeah, so, Mars Attacks came out with a comic this week, as did The Crow, so, brace yourselves, the 90s are coming. But yeah, Mars Attacks was weird. So, it's about... So, this all happens, like... I'm not sure if the actual timeline of where it fits into the Mars Attacks mythos, its whole canon. Because, you know, you have to dig really deep into the lore to understand what's going on in that movie. Yeah, like, go read the companion book. Like, that's like 7 novel series. There's the board game. But yeah. So, at some point, Krang, who I think is his name, I can't actually remember his name. He crashes on Earth in his ship, fries a bunch of cows, and then gets kidnapped by some hillbillies and taken to a circus. The entire comic is taking place from the point of view of the alien. And it's just him, like, on Earth, looking around, seeing all of these people and hating them all, and then everyone dies. Because it's fucking Mars Attacks, dude.
Of course everyone dies.
But yeah, it was pretty good. Like, the art style was really cool. Like, the aliens actually looked threatening. Like, I know that may be hard for you to believe if you've seen Mars Attacks. What with their giant brains and the weird flappy bits. But, like, the shadowing on the general's face, it actually made him look like a really threatening force.
You mean a force to be reckoned with?
Sure, why not?
Yay!
Yeah, he came across as really menacing, and so did the aliens. Like, the way they were drawn, it actually looked like they are an Earth-conquering force and not just some jackasses with laser guns. It does seem to be taken, like, a step away from the movie of, like, having it be, like the movie was very comedic.
Yeah.
It was just saying, hey, we got these really retarded-looking aliens. It goes, that's apparently a language. And then they're like this Earth-destroying force. But here, they actually feel like an Earth-destroying force.
I both like and dislike that.
Yeah, like, again, this is just the first issue. So for all I know, it could be going back to the comedic roots later on. Like whenever they show the guys talking, you never understand a single word the aliens say. Because it's all just in weird gibberish. It's like someone just kind of, like, spasmed with a pen in their hand against, like, a Wacom tablet for a couple seconds to make letters. But yeah, and all the people that they're talking to, they're all, like, Southerners, so they speak... So, like, it's actually written out, so everything it says, you read it as a Southerner. It's like, well, daggum, what do you suppose that there is? And it all comes across as southern talk, and it's pretty good. I like it. I am just baffled that someone made Mars Attacks in 2012. Or The Crow, for that matter.
Yeah, just as a point of reference for the audience here, as pretty much right after Dead Man read that comic, we watched the movie.
Yeah, that was a good time. Fucking love that movie. Man, and actually, a really cool thing about it, so, like, the cover of it, it's all done in, like, old 50s-style comic covers. Just, like, everything's all washed out, look kind of blurry, it just says, Mars Attacks in huge letters, and it looks really awesome.
Alright, sounds good. Like, yeah. I love Mars Attacks, so... Yeah.
It's bizarre and interesting and pretty good. But yeah, so, next one. Since Kitty decided to veto her pick, but we got to choose another one.
Oh, right. Spider-Man issue 1.
Yeah, so apparently this is the story that's been 50 years in the making, along with Who is Alpha, and everything else that's coming out this year from Spider-Man, because it's Spider-Man's 50th anniversary. Yeah, so Spider-Man is written by Brian Michael Bendis with art by the lady who did art for the Ultimate Spider-Man stuff. Yeah. And it's about Amazing Spider-Man Peter Parker crossing over into the Ultimate Universe and meeting Miles Morales. And that happens on the last page. So it starts out with just Spider-Man swinging around doing Spider-Man shit. And then he runs into Ultimate Mysterio. Like, he sees, like, he's swinging along, he sees crime happening, goes down, he sees Ultimate Mysterio hanging out there, he's like, oh, he's kind of like a guy I know. And then he punches him, and then all of a sudden he is in Ultimate Universe. He's swinging back home, he sees a crime happening, goes down, punches him, it's like, hey man, you should be wearing that costume, it's kind of in poor taste. Like, okay, you're welcome, see ya. Like, he has no idea how he got there, and then his last issue was like, the last page is like, oh, crap. And then Miles Morales... Same sentiment. Oh, crap. Because these are two Spider-Men meeting. Like, one thing... Like, one has no idea what's happening. One thinks the one who has no idea what's happening is dead. And 16. Because in... Because in Amazing Spider-Man, he's, like, in his 20s now.
Yeah, whereas in Ultimate Spider-Man, he's younger and dead.
Yes. But yeah, it was a kind of uneventful first issue. Like, it would, like, it, I do like, it's good. I'll say that. It is good. It's just not a lot happens in it. Other than that one pretty good joke of, hey man, you should be wearing that costume. I mean, he kind of just, you know, which is the same joke that was levied against Miles when he first swung out of Spider-Man to fight the kangaroo. First thing, he dresses up as, like, Spider-Man, ass Spider-Man, and then gets... And then everyone who sees him is like, man, too soon, dude, too soon.
Even though his costume's quite a bit different from the original Spider-Man costume.
Yes, but when he first went out, he was wearing the original Spider-Man costume. Like, he went to a costume shop, bought a Spider-Man costume, and then went out to fight crime in it.
Ah.
Then got his ass, he's like, dude, seriously, he just died. Then he left, then S.H.I.E.L.D. made him a new costume. Because, you know, Nick Fury.
I have an eye patch. God damn it.
But yeah, so, Spider-Man 1, it's pretty good. Like I said, not a lot happens in it, but it's an interesting start, and hopefully it's getting... since it's Brian Michael fucking Bendis, it's going to get a lot better. Fucking love Brian Michael Bendis. But yeah, so, moving on. I have a few more things to talk about, because... There are two things that I feel like I need to talk about. One thing that I do know I need to talk about, and two things that I just want to talk about. You guys, pick one to do first. The one I know I need to talk about, the one I think I need to talk, the two I think I need to talk about, or the two I want to talk about.
Let's start with the ones you want to talk about, then the ones you think you need to talk about, then the one you have to talk about.
Okay, so, first one I want to talk about is Scud, the Disposable Assassin. So this is a fucking bizarre comic. So this came out like in the 90s, and it was about... So in this world, there are assassin vending machines.
Okay.
Yeah, you just go up to something, you put in like 25 cents, you get an assassin. It's a robot. then you give him a target. You set his contempt level, so like how painful he, like how painful you want the guy's death to be. And then he goes out, kills him, and then explodes.
So, I just gotta say, if I'm going as far as paying 25 cents for an assassin, I'm gonna set that contempt level to maximum, because I gotta be pretty pissed at you.
Well, you never know, just like walking down the street, just, that guy's kind of a dick to me today. Oh, look, a scud machine. But yeah, so then when Scud comes out, he's sent it to kill something. But the thing he sent it to kill is something with like a giraffe's neck with like a three-pronged plug on it. He has like mouse traps for hands and two legs that are actually hands with like mouths on the knees that keep screaming shit at you. And it's a girl whose name is Jeff.
Okay. So, yeah. I'm a bit lost.
So yeah, so Scud starts fighting her, and then he sees through his reflection on the back saying, "Warning: Upon completion of the assignment, this heartbreaker unit will self-destruct." And he's like, "Fuck that!" So he shoots off Jeff's arms and legs, calls an ambulance, and then starts doing assassination jobs to try to keep Jeff alive so he can keep living. And to keep Jeff alive, he starts freelancing as an assassin. Like, most Scuds are found in vending machines. He's just kind of standing somewhere with saying, "We'll kill for food." And yeah, from there, it just gets weirder. Like, there's a terrorist group that, like, worships a fast food mascot. There's one bit where he, like, goes into space because his arm got replaced with a werewolf arm. And every time, like, he gets in the full moon, he starts speaking in, like, ye olde English. He has to feed it a sandwich every now and again. There's this one thing, I think his name's, like, Burlap or something, where he just, like, can zip open things and, like, go into some alternate dimension inside of himself where he's currently keeping Jeff and atomic bombs and shit.
I'm very lost.
As you should be, this comic is really, really bizarre and weird and awesome, and I love it! This is the kind of 90s comic I wish they would make more of. In that it is just fucking bananas and insane and awesome. And really hilarious, too. Like, there's one bit early on when he's just, like, first getting his few jobs, and he is working for a mob, kind of. And their rival mob is a group of zombies led by Voodoo Ben Franklin. So, yeah.
It's a flash mob.
I want to comment and stuff. It's too fucking weird.
Yeah.
You don't know what to say.
And so then in that story arc, Voodoo Ben Franklin sends a group of zombie dinosaurs after the mob. They bite the Dawn, and the Dawn turns into a zombie Stegosaurus. Yep. That happens.
Okay, so moving on, because my brain hurts.
Yeah, so, Scud the Disposable Assassin is awesome. Read it. Check it out. So, moving on to Avengers, the Children's Crusade. So, this is a story arc that actually just ended earlier this year before Avengers vs. X-Men started. So, what it's about is the Young Avengers, which is a group of children who have very similar abilities to those of the Avengers. They even have their own vision. Two of their members, Wiccan and Speed, Wiccan thinks that he and Speed are the sons of the Scarlet Witch, who lost her kids, then went insane and killed three Avengers, and then were the World of Mutants, and then a whole bunch of weird shit happened after she went insane. And so then Wiccan believes that he and Speed are the long-lost twin sons of the Scarlet Witch. And so then it's their mission to track down the Scarlet Witch and be her sons or something. Yeah, I'm not entirely sure what their end game was with this. But it's really cool. Like, it's a really good story. Because the Avengers and the X-Men, and pretty much everyone comes across as a complete asshole.
Of course.
You're like, all the kids are doing it just like, So Wiccan wants to find his mom. Speed wants to help his brother. Hulkling wants to help his boyfriend because, by the way, Wiccan's gay and is currently with the Hulkling, who is some weird half-alien, half-other-alien thing. Yeah, and then everyone else wants to help their friends. So while they're all doing that, the Avengers want to lock up Wiccan because they think he is too powerful. Wolverine wants to kill the Scarlet Witch because he's Wolverine. The X-Men want to bring the Scarlet Witch to justice, although what their actual plan is, we never know. Like, that's actually a big point of contention. Like, Wiccan says, bring her to justice, what are you going to do? And X-Men are like, I don't know. But yeah, and the story is really good. It's like time traveling shit, and like Scarlet Witch is there, and she doesn't remember. She's getting married to Doctor Doom, who's there, and then he goes like, then he turns back into a human for a while because he is pretty much like a weird robot thing at this point. It's weird, dude, and it's awesome. It's really good. It's a really good story.
That's the thing that comes up a lot with comics. It's weird.
Yeah. And it's actually kind of cool seeing a gay couple in comics. I have been reading a lot of comics with a lot of gay couples in it recently.
It's the new sexy?
Maybe. Like, I've been reading a lot of Batwoman. She's gay. Been reading, just started reading Astonishing X-Men with Northstar, who is gay and recently married. He actually just got married to his boyfriend Kyle, so yeah, rah rah, whatever. Earth 2, Green Lantern's now gay, and then I'm reading Avengers Children's Crusade with Hulkling and Wiccan, who apparently are getting married. Even though I'm pretty sure they're like 16.
You can get married at 16, that's the legal age.
I thought you needed like consent.
Probably. Do they have parents?
Well, Hulkling's parents are off in space.
Okay, well, he's not a human, so the rules don't apply.
And Wiccan... how do I explain it? Like his mom was the Scarlet Witch, but then his soul was eaten by a demon and then transplanted into the body of someone else's baby.
So basically, Nick Fury is their legal guardian.
No, actually, Nick Fury is... Like, white Nick Fury is not as involved as black Nick Fury. Like, regular universe Nick Fury is white and just kind of not there a lot.
So Tony Stark is their legal guardian.
Oh, fuck Tony Stark.
This is the universe where he's sober, right?
Yes.
So he's dangerous.
Oh, yes. And Captain America's in here, too, and he's just being Cap. Cyclops is in here being fucked up. Fuck Cyclops, seriously. But yeah, Avengers Children's Crusade, it was actually really good. It's a 9-issue miniseries. I really suggest you guys check it out. So yeah, then moving on to the stuff I think I need to talk about. Starting with Before Watchmen, Comedian, issue 1. So, another fucking prequel thing to Watchmen. It's really bizarre. So, first half of the issue, we see, like, the Comedian cutting back from him hanging out with the Kennedys, because I guess they were friends, to him getting up, getting dressed, and leaving the dead body of Marilyn Monroe, who he just murdered.
All right.
Because JFK's wife wanted her dead. Because, yeah, that happened. Yeah, like, the Comedian here, he actually seems like a fairly well-balanced human being.
Well, that's wrong.
I know. Like, I'm not sure, like, I don't know if he's been to Nam yet. Like, I do not know, like, timelines of that stuff, but, like, we see him interacting with the Kennedys, and he seems just, like, normal. He doesn't seem like he's a dick. He doesn't seem like he's a sociopath. He doesn't seem even like he's even that... He just seems like a dude. And when we actually see him going out and being the Comedian, it's more like... It's not like he's insane or anything. It's like he's a renegade cop. You know, like, there's one bit where, like, the U.S. government says, hey, we need your help with something. And then he gets all did up in his gear, And then as they're like going to fight whatever guy's like, all right, so we're gonna go in, do some like preliminary stuff, and you just come in and do the cleanup. And he's like, fuck that. Just pushes down the guy's leg and rams the car right through the front of the thing, and then just like comes out and starts shooting. Seems like an action movie hero and not like the comedian.
Yeah, that's pretty key about this comedian, that he's a total sociopath. And that was, he's been a sociopath since before Nam, but I'm pretty sure, given timelines, this would be after Nam. I'm not sure, actually.
Yeah,
I know my American history so well.
You know when Kennedy was assassinated?
1812. No, I don't know.
No, I have no idea, actually.
Well, yeah, so... I don't fucking know.
Yeah, he was assassinated 3 years after the end of World War II.
But yeah. So, comedian, the art is actually really good in this. I do like the art in it. And it's interesting, to say the least, to see the comedian being a person. But again, we don't need this. Like, wasn't it implied that... Like, wasn't it implied through a bunch of stuff that Comedian was the one who killed JFK?
Yeah, he was the second shooter.
Well, no. He was in an entirely different city who heard about the new, who heard about the, like, the thing on the news.
Huh.
Yeah, so they're fucking up their own timeline, and they're making the Comedian just not the Comedian. Like, him killing Marilyn Monroe after fucking her. That sounds like the Comedian. But doing it because JFK's wife asked you to. Who's opening something?
Sorry, that's me. I just realized how loud this thing is to open.
Well, yeah. Well, before Watchmen Comedian, it's not that great. But what do you expect? It's a fucking before Watchmen issue.
Well, I expected you to be able to do something good with it. I mean, there is existence of plenty of, you know, heroes before that, and they all had their own problems, so it would actually be interesting if done right.
But like, when they showed the comedian in Minutemen, it was just him, har, 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 give me your money, har, har, har. That's it. Here, it's, he's a person. So they're not doing it right at all. But... Yeah, and then moving on to the other thing, before Watchmen, Silk Spectre. So this one is dealing with young Silk Spectre. I forget her name. Is it Sally? No, is that her mom? I forget which one is the older or younger Silk Spectre.
I can't remember either.
But yeah, so young Silk Spectre it's just her as a high schooler. Like, she's learning to become Silk Spectre. Her mom is showing her some stuff. And then it's her, like, dealing with the trials and tribulations of high school, such as having a 50s bitch on your ass. Like, there's this one character who is the epitome of, like, old school high school bitch. Like, oh, hey, your mom's a whore. Like, walks off with her weird giant hive hair and, like, the weird dresses, which, you know, like, hey, we're going to the shop to get an egg cream. I better dress up. But yeah, there was nothing particularly wrong with this issue.
It just wasn't very interesting, right?
Yeah, it's the Silk fucking Spectre. Like, she's supposed to be fucked up. Like her mom almost got raped, and then she's actually the child of her mom's rapist. Spoiler alert, I guess. But yeah, and then, like, it's supposed to be having her, like, dealing with just, oh my god, I'm forced to live in my mom's footsteps, and everything is happening, and it's just, oh no, wait, here's me flirting with a guy who has similar problems to me. But not really. I'm probably just being too hard on these issues, because, like, I fucking don't see any reason for them to exist.
No, I agree with you completely on the comedian one. Like, he's got to be a sociopath, he's got to be twisted, and he's supposed to kill Kennedy.
Yeah. But the one thing that I did like about this was the art. It had fantastic art. It's an art style that I've seen in Spider-Man before, And it was, I love that art style. It's one of my favorites, and I can't remember who the actual artist is, but he is really good, and I, if nothing else, you could read it for the art.
If all right. Good, you'd have his babies.
Sure, let's go with that. But actually, I have the thing right in front of me. I believe it is Amanda Connor who did the art.
I see.
So if you could, you'd have her babies?
Yes. It'd be a very, bizarre process, but essentially I'll be Arnold Schwarzenegger in Junior. But yeah, so, and both these issues have the continuing story of the completely out-of-place pirate story. It's actually a continuation. It's not just like each one of them has their own pirate story. It's each one of them is the next part in the ongoing pirate story canon. And it is weird.
Sound weird.
Yeah, like, I've already said what I needed to say about the pirate story. But yeah, so moving on to the thing I know I need to talk about, Avengers vs. X-Men 6.
Yes, we always have to talk about Avengers vs. X-Men.
Yeah, so, this one.
Exists.
Yes, Avengers vs. X-Men is an ongoing story.
It's all because Cyclops is a douchebag.
Yes, and now he's a douchebag with the power of the Phoenix.
Oh!
Along with Namor, Colossus, Emma Frost, and someone else who I can't remember. Magic! Colossus's sister.
So this can't be looking very good for the Avengers.
No, it is not. So, you guys don't read AVX. So in issue 5, after everyone went to the moon, Iron Man came up and did some, like, science shit at the Phoenix Force, so split into 5 beings, which then latched onto Cyclops, Namor, Emma Frost, Colossus, and Magic, creating the Phoenix 5. And they all, and then when they said, like, hey guys, just, you know, you can't stop us, so fuck you all, they flew off to Earth and then started taking over. But not taking over, like, evilly, taking over, like, subversively. Of, like, they come down and they build their own little utopia thing called Utopia. Then they, like, fix all the world's problems. And then come up to, like, people and say, hey, guess what? We fixed all your shit. Now, stop fighting. Or else.
That doesn't sound too bad.
They did the exact same thing Superman did, and I hate Superman. But, yeah. So, and then the Avengers are just trying to figure out how to deal with these 5 people who control, well, quote-unquote, control the Phoenix Force. Because you can never control the Phoenix Force. It controls you.
Even if you split it into 5 parts.
Yep. So Wolverine's still saying, hey, let's kill them all. Because, you know, he's fucking Wolverine.
And, you know, Cyclops is on that list, so of course.
Yeah, it's like, oh, come on, can I kill him, can I kill him, can I kill him? It's like, they don't even have the Phoenix Force anymore. I know, can I kill him? No, you never know. Could come back. But yeah, there was a weird time jump between issue 5 and issue 6 of, I think actually 3 weeks, quite a few weeks have passed. And every, like, alternate story, every tie-in story now has just been everyone else reacting to the fact that now 5 of the most powerful mutants in the world are now even more powerful. Like Cyclops now, he doesn't even need to wear his visor thing. He just wears it because
he thinks it looks cool?
I think he explained that it was like honoring the past or something.
He sounds emo.
He is very emo. Like, so, they released an Infinite issue with this. Avengers vs. X-Men 6 Infinite. Which is their kind of weird digital release-only tie-in thing. Where Cyclops goes to the moon and uses the power of the Phoenix Force to make Jean Grey out of moon dust.
What?
Yes. Jean Grey, who was the former host of the Phoenix, and his former wife, went to the moon, got killed with a laser, and dissolved. So then he goes to the moon and brings her back to talk to her, because he's that emo.
Nobody understands me. I never did either.
Yeah.
I need a blade!
Hey, hell, he could just use Phoenix Force to cut himself.
Ah, the pain! It burns!
It's the only thing I can feel.
Pretty much. This issue, it's a really good issue. And Infinite and AVX6 Infinite is actually really good. It's just really emo. Oh, and also, they're keeping Hope prisoner throughout all of this.
They're keeping who prisoner?
Hope, the proper host Phoenix.
Right.
Like, the entire thing is, let's keep Hope safe from the Phoenix, or let's use Hope with the Phoenix to bring back mutants. Because, yeah, that's how evolution works.
I know that, because I read issue one.
Wait, aren't mutants mutant because they have different DNA?
No. They are mutants because one gene that somehow everyone on the planet had got activated.
Why does everyone have different mutant abilities?
Because comics.
Science?
Yeah, like, evolution doesn't work like that. But they don't seem to care. It's just, hey, we'll give more people superpowers.
End it.
Yeah, but yeah, AVX 6. It's... AVX issue 5 was fantastic. It was... After the initial awesomeness of the first couple issues, things kind of petered off for a while, and then 5 just brought things back, like, with a gusto. Of just fucking battle on the moon, horrible shit jumping off, and then fucking Phoenix 5. And this one is... kind of just bleh. Like, some interesting stuff happens, but... not that interesting. But still, it's a good series. And I'm going to keep reading it. I might even check out some AVX Versus stuff, because I have been neglecting that religiously. But yeah.
I've been neglecting a lot of things religiously.
Yeah, so, that's what we read. On to some news. Because we have news today. So, first up, Marvel is teasing a new thing. So they have released 3 images so far for their upcoming event, This Is War. So they have released an image of Thor's hammer cracked into pieces, Wolverine with his skin burning off, you can see his like adamantium skeleton underneath it, and Captain America's shield covered in blood, presumably his own. So,
or Cyclops's.
Maybe. But yeah, so, all this is teasing their new thing, This Is War. And we don't know anything else about it, other than it's coming in October. But, we will be learning more at Comic-Con International on Sunday, July 15th, during the Amazing Spider-Man panel. Because apparently Spider-Man fits into all this somehow. Some people have been, like, guessing that this is a... like, teaser for the Age of Ultron story arc that Marvel has been apparently teasing since last year. But other people, and some people, think that it's a continuation or follow-up thing to Avengers vs. X-Men. I don't know what the fuck it's about, but it's got Spider-Man in it, so I'll probably read it. Yep, so, moving on. Marvel has announced that they'll be releasing in October a bevy of breast cancer awareness covers. Yep.
I thought everyone was aware of breast cancer.
I don't know.
Now, are we talking pink ribbons or large tits with pink ribbons on them?
we're talking pink everything.
I'm just thinking, like, comic books.
Yeah.
Want to raise awareness for breast cancer.
Yeah. There's
you've got lots of breasts. Yeah.
There's one cover that's been released for Wolverine that shows X-23 in a pink version of her suit busting through a pink piece of glass. There's one with Thor shooting pink lightning out of his hammer. And there's one with Captain America with a pink shield with a pink star on his chest wearing pink gloves and a pink background. Pink! Yeah, so The issues that we have in this pink cover are Avengers 31, Captain America 18, Captain Marvel 5, Fantastic Four 611, Invincible Iron Man 526, Mighty Thor 21, Uncanny X-Men 20, and Wolverine 315. Yep.
Too much pink. I don't like it.
It is an embarrassing amount of pink.
Shameful.
Yeah. So that's going to do it for this week, I guess. Unless you guys have anything else you want to talk about?
I think we're good.
Okay. So, as always, you can follow us on Twitter. You can follow the site at Death Door Prods. I am at Deadman underscore DD Prods, and we have at Bobiwan, and Kitty is not on Twitter. We're on
Twitter.
How many times have I explained this to you?
We're on Facebook. You can like us there. We're on iTunes. Subscribe to us. Leave us some reviews. Let us know what you want to see more of, less of, etc. Subscribe to the RSS. Buy some of our merch and help us make all this shit better. And we are looking for podcast people. Well, podcast and writer people, since Shaq's quit. So please, if you are interested in podcasting for us or writing for us, then please send your stuff to me, deadman@deathstoreprods.com, and include your Skype name on there, and we can go from there. So yeah, again, that's email me, deadman@deathstoreprods.com, with your Skype name and what you're interested in doing. Like, we have a position open on video games, comics, and movies. And
Anything cast,
yes. So yeah, if you're interested, again, deadman@deathstoreprods.com, I'll be putting all of the stuff that you need to send in the description. So, yeah. Hit me up. Be sure to come back on Friday for our final commentary for summer month with Jaws, and for our movies podcast, which may or may not feature Kitty. We have not decided that yet.
Probably will.
But yeah. And be sure to come back on Sunday to allgames.com at 5 p.m. Eastern Time for the Anything Cast Live, where we may have Kitty again.
Probably.
Yeah. So please, send those submissions in quickly.
Yes, I don't do good on stuff like this.
No, you do not.
I'm sorry.
So, until next time, though, I'm Dead.
I'm Bobiwan.
And I'm Ninja Kitty, and I really should not be on these.
See you guys next time.